Amen. Well, I look on the announcement sheet, and at the bottom it says sermon notes, Ryan Jones. There's nothing on there. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. It actually, there's nothing on there for that part, but I figured that'd be pretty funny. Pastor is in California at a conference called No Limits. It is a fantastic conference, and I'm so glad that he's able to go. Some great fellowship with some great men of God and some great elders, and I am so happy that him and his family got to go. But, amen. Do you love your pastor? Amen. I love my pastor, and I love my pastor's family. Amen. When his absence, he gave me the honor to preach tonight, and I'm so thankful to him for trusting in me. He's invested a lot in me, and I'm so thankful for Brother Dunn tonight and his sweet family. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to go to Psalms. I believe it's 34. Psalms 34, we're going to start with verse number 1. I'm used to preaching elsewhere, so I'll do the same thing as I do there. I love my wife. She's so good to me. I posted not too long ago on Valentine's Day or whatever. You know, husbands, we got to do that if you have any sort of social media. But I posted, and God gave me this thought. I believe it. It's proof that God will bless more than any of us will ever deserve. That's how we ought to feel about, that's how everyone ought to feel about their significant other. God has blessed more than we'll ever deserve. One, by saving us, and two, by giving us the love of our lives. So I so appreciate her, and I appreciate my family. They've been so good to me. And if it hadn't been for them, I wouldn't be here. And also, I appreciate each and every one of you. There's countless, countless people in here today that have invested in me and spent time on me and helped me find anything I've lost. I lose a lot of stuff. Thank goodness I've got it all tonight. But, amen, if you've got Psalms 34, verse number 1, why don't you say amen? Let's start in 2, actually, verse number 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. For just the next few moments, I want to preach. My title will be Taste and See. Taste and See. So if you can set your Bibles down next to you, if you would pray for me tonight, ask God to move in this house. Pray for each and every person here tonight. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Amen. Can we put our hands together one more time and give him thanks, give him praise? Amen, amen. You may be seated. You have to bear with me tonight. I don't preach many Wednesday nights. I'm usually gone on the weekends. I know it's a little bit different, but I know God has given me something, given me a word, I believe for many people, if not all of us in this church. I was in a meeting Monday, like a minister's meeting Monday, and there was a great elder there speaking to us, and I'd been praying and studying and contemplating about this service, and he quoted this verse, verse number 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." He quoted that verse, and it really stood out to me, and God's good, and it fit into what he had been putting in my heart. And so I began to think about taste and see. There's a lot of food that I like, if you can't tell. Those laughing can. No, I'm just messing. But I would have never known that I liked biscuits and gravy until I tried it. I'd have never known that I like milk as much as I do if I hadn't tried it. Don't figure out where it comes from. You might change your mind. But there's a lot of things in life that we like now that we would have never liked if we would not have tried it, if we had not had tasted good things. And I couldn't imagine eating oatmeal every day because I was too afraid to try something else. Oh, come on. I couldn't imagine it. So taste and see. We live in a life on this earth. I'm only 25, and each and every day I realize that this thing called life's not easy. And it's not as fun as I was told. Just in the short time that I've been out on my own and realized the things that can happen throughout life. And sometimes it doesn't put a good taste in my mouth. Sometimes I step back and, God, I really don't want to eat any more of that, if you don't mind. I'd appreciate it if you'd send something a little better my way. But know that those things that don't taste so good are some of the very things that make us into who that we are. Make us into what we are, and God is using those things. But I also know that in this life that we live, that it can become monotonous, and it can become, for lack of a better word, very annoying. We're all humans, and we all have different personalities. Some are more blessed than others and are just go-getters and let's do it, and others like to sit at home alone. I'm just trying to be real tonight. I hope this is okay. But God uses these things to work on us. And the way that we take it and the way that we taste it, it's all different for each and every one of us. It's all going to be something that we might not understand how I go through it compared to how, say, for my brother goes through it. Even though that we're brothers, we're two complete different people. We're very, very different. There are some things that are the same. And I think that throughout all of us here that we all have some things in common, but also that things are just different for each and every individual. And so also that I believe that things are received different for each and every person. Things are different, and so it's sometimes a task in itself to get everybody on the same page and do something together. I know that sometimes in a family, sometimes at a family gathering, some of us dread it, some of us enjoy it, some of us want to go, some of us don't, but we want to get together as a family, and we want to do these things together as a family because we are a family, because that's what family is about, that yes, there might be differences here and differences there, but we're still a family, and even if it's just on Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'm going to eat with them because I want them to know that I love them. They're my family. And so, these things are, like I said, different, and we got to get onto the same page. So bear with me for just a moment. Taste and see. We all taste different things, as I said. We probably all see different things, as I said. But to understand that God offers the same thing for all of us, that God offers salvation and God offers eternal life, and he's offering us a home that we can choose to go to. And so us as a church together are working together to do these things. Amen. So, youth, we work with the primetimers. Primetimers, we work with the youth. God's doing something. It's not my notes, but I feel it. So we come together and we accomplish great things. And even though that Brother Dunn sees things differently than I do, and we're still trying to accomplish the same goal, and even though maybe his mindset is from a little later down the road, hey, you're the only one that's supposed to laugh at that. Mine's getting there, don't worry. But even though that it's different, that we have to come together on common ground. Now he's my spiritual elder. Don't get any of that mixed up. Just wait just a second. So we come together today, and God is offering the church, this church, Broken Arrow, the same thing. He's offering us revival. He's offering us prosperity. He's offering us blessing. Just look around. There's a lot of things going on in the spiritual. There's a lot of business stuff going on. There's a lot of job stuff going on. There's a lot, and it's good things. God is offering it to all of us. God is offering it to each and every one of us. But here is what we have to do. We have to unify together. We have to gear up together. And we have to push, because God offers this. He's got an open hand. You come grab it whenever you're ready. You can come up here and grab it whenever you're ready. But we have to decide together to go. I hope this is making sense to somebody. And so some in the house want to go. Some in the house are ready to go. Some are thinking about going. Some are thinking about going. Some think they already got there. I'm not trying to dog nobody. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. Just sense my spirit tonight. Some think they've already got there. Some don't want to go. So taste and see. Taste and see. God has got so many things for us to taste and see, and it's up to us how much that we want to taste. We can have just a spoonful, or we can have the whole dish. To know that prayer is one of these things that we could taste and see. Pastors have been preaching and teaching. This is a year of prayer. This is a year of prayer. And if we can get everybody on board, I'm not going to go even 80%. If we can get everybody on board and realize and know that prayer does work, and that prayer is the communication to God Himself, that prayer is the very thing that will take this church and us as individuals to the next level, that God is going to use prayer just like He always has to do something great for this church. Amen, amen. There's been several times in the past few months that preachers have come through, or pastors preached it about people and their trials, people and what they're going through, and they're real things. This is real life. This is how it is until God comes back to get us. And so several times, like I said, ministers have come through and said things to us about what we're going through and just as individuals. But to know today that just with a little push in prayer, just a little more belief from us, just a little bit more faith from our part, if you'll believe, He'll do it. It's that simple. If you will believe, He will do it. Timing is in His hands. We sang it. He's an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. And I stick with that, and I believe that, and I know that. And I hope that today, each and every one of us know that, that he's an on-time God. Just because it hasn't happened yet, it doesn't matter. Because if it doesn't happen, I know that I'm going to get to go to heaven. And if I get to go to heaven before it happens, I'm not even going to care. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My heavenly reward is not going to be shadowed by something that I desire down on this earth. Amen. God's going to take care of it. Because he is an on-time God. Amen. So, I'm sorry, my iPad closed. It's going to continue to close. So I want to go to Mark 9. My sister's going to put it up on the board. I'm sorry, actually go to Mark 10. And they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. I'm sorry, I've messed it up. God's got it though. That's what I get for trying to use notes. It's actually Mark 9, 17 through 29. I'm going to start in 21. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Talking about the man with the son with the deaf and dumb spirit. Verse 22, it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters, it destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And so I begin to read this and I began to study it. And what I've got from this is that when the man told Jesus, said, I believe, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And I feel that tonight that some of us are in a state of unbelief. And in some, it's evident. And I'm talking about a situation, because there are some that sit in the house that have waited so long for something to happen in their life, for something to happen in their family, for something to happen at their job, something happen in their business. They've waited a very, very long time, but yet nothing has happened. And so the man said, if you can't do anything, just have compassion. Man, that's a tough thing to say. Imagine with me maybe how many times someone's got down and said, God, if you're just not going to do it, just have mercy on me. Have mercy on my situation. Have mercy on my family. I don't ever want to. I want to ask for mercy, but I'm not wanting to ask for mercy when I don't think God's going to do something for me. Like we said earlier, if you believe, he's going to do it. If you believe and have faith, he's going to do it. So the man said, I believe, help my unbelief. And what did the Lord do? He commanded that deaf and dumb spirit to leave. But I also think that the unbelief from the Father had a connection to the deaf and dumb spirit. Now just hear me out. The deaf and dumb spirit, deaf, we all know what that is, dumb as in meaning, you know, not being able to function, just handicapped. We'll just say that. a deaf and dumb spirit. So he was spiritually affected. So, when someone is deaf, they don't hear what comes from here. They don't hear what comes from leadership or pastor. They don't hear what comes that's meant to bless them. And if they do hear it, it might even be received the wrong way. A dumb spirit. That even when God's power is moving in the house, a dumb spirit doesn't know how to react. A dumb spirit doesn't know what to do. A dumb spirit looks around and has a hard time understanding. I don't know why this is happening. But with unbelief, I believe a deaf and dumb spirit is close behind. That if we can get to the point in a situation, or we can get to a point in our lives where we have given up and we wonder, well, there's just nothing going to change. There is nothing going to change. We've probably done it at work a million times. That guy doesn't know what he's doing, and he's probably never going to change. But know that with God, anything can change. That with God, anything is possible. And that anything can change. And that when that deaf, the deaf and dumb spirit tries to come knock on your door, when it comes and knocks on your door, hey, I heard you didn't believe. I heard you thought maybe it wasn't going to happen for you. Maybe you were thinking that it's not going to work out. Well, that's just like God for that to happen. Somebody today needs to hear what I'm saying. Someone here today and know that if you believe it's going to happen in God's timing, and then not get a deaf and dumb spirit, and not to block the things that are coming from this pulpit, and to not block the things that a leader or a minister or somebody or an elder is pouring into your heart. Don't get weary in your well-doing and wait and say, well, God, it's just, why hasn't this happened? I don't know. I guess it's just not going to happen. Because it's the deaf and dumb spirit that will cause us to sit on these church pews and never get another thing from God. If I don't want to hear what someone has to say, I'm just going to block them out. But then when they ask me about what they said, I won't know how to react. I won't know what to do. I won't know what to say. And so tonight, my title is Taste and See. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see. God is doing some great things in Broken Arrow. God is doing some great things with the people of Broken Arrow. And he is ready for us to taste and see. The same thing has been offered from day one. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself, if we can buckle down and we can dig down deep and we can find something so new and so strong that the walls would just fall over this church. The walls would just fall over. Every seat would be full. I'm telling somebody, he's ready for you to taste and see the very things that he is calling this church to do. He's ready for you to taste and to see the very things that he has called some in this house to do. He's not done anything for no reason. Everything that he's done is for a reason. And he's ready, and he's got his arms open wide for somebody tonight to say, oh, come, taste and see what I've got for you. Taste and see what I have for you to do. Hallelujah. But first, it's going to take for some to just push aside everything. Push aside everything. Doesn't matter what's going on at home. I'm not saying don't pray for those things. It doesn't matter what's going on at work. God's going to take care of it. You keep right with your family. You keep with your man of God. And you just throw the rest away. It don't matter. God's going to take care of you. It's a faith-building thing. To say that, God, I don't know what's next, but I trust in you that you know what's going on. You've put me in a place for a right reason. You've put me here, God, because something special is taking place. God, you've put me here because you have something for me to taste and see. You have something for me to experience, God, that I am not able to experience anywhere else. Amen, amen. You've got to believe that you're going to make it through. No matter what. I know this is simple tonight. But God told me somebody needed to hear it. To know that you're going to make it through. And to know that it doesn't matter. And to know that God has got his hand on your life. I think sometimes, and even with myself, everybody's a child of God. Nobody's above anybody. But sometimes we have a hard time understanding what it means when someone says the hand of God is on your life. I think some just hear it as, oh, well, that's nice. No. It is nice, but it's so much more than nice. We all got the hand of God on our life. And for God himself to say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to put my hand on your life, and you're going to do great things. That's a big deal. That is a huge deal. And I hope that all of us today can understand and see the significance of the hand of God on somebody's life. There's no telling. There is no telling what God would do if we could understand how much he has invested in this church. He died for this church. But to know if we could just pull back the curtain and see all the things that God wants us to do. If we could just pull back the curtain and say, oh, there's 100 soul revival right there. Or look over here and say, there's 8 more buses in the parking lot. I'm telling you. And I can say these things, and they're not far-fetched. These are real things that can happen for this church. And if we can realize and understand today that the power of God to do those things is here in the house, but we as the children of God, the saints of Broken Arrow, we have to taste and see. We have to partake of the Spirit and the power of God that is in this house. We have to come willing and ready to get our hands dirty in the things of God and say, Jesus, whatever your will may be, I will do it. I'm going to leave all my problems at home. I'm going to leave my problems at work. But when I come to church, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to praise your name. And God, I'm going to give it all to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If we can just taste and see as a church today, like we talked about earlier, some of us have different thoughts, some of us see things in different ways, but if we can come together and unify as a church, as a family, if we can do it under this great man of God that's here to lead us, I'm telling somebody tonight, you would be amazed at the things God would do. You would be amazed at the things you would get to see and the things that you would get to taste. You would be amazed at the people that would walk through those great doors and would see truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then you wait and see once you set all those things aside, once you don't care about what's going on, and you start focusing on the things of God, and you start focusing on having a relationship with Him, and you start to focus on loving Him and having a walk with Him, how those things that are behind you just start fixing themselves, and they start coming back together, and your children, they start coming home, they start coming back to church. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that with everything that's within me. Tonight, if somebody would just step out and taste and see what God has got for you, I'm telling somebody, somebody's child will come home. Hallelujah. Somebody just said that'd be that's an awfully big statement. Nope, not for God. I'm just the messenger. He said He would do it. I'm just a messenger. He already said He would do it. Some have trouble believing that tonight. Hey, amen. I'm not here to meddle around when Pastor's not home. He'll hear this message. But if you didn't believe that, pray about it. I'm not knocking you. I'm not saying you're wrong. Pray about it. If you'll take the challenge and you'll pray about it, let God do it. Let God do it. Because if it can come across this pulpit 100 times and it doesn't affect you, see if God talking to you will affect you. That'll be the tell. And God will talk to you. He will do it. He doesn't hesitate to talk to His people. But tonight, He's got something for us to taste and see. He has got something for us that is just laying across here. I've been coming to church here for a very long time in my life. 16, 17 years. And I've heard about it for every one of those years I've been here. I've heard it for every one of those years that I've been here. And like Brother Marks preached just a few weeks ago, I remember that 100-soul revival that was promised to this church in a year's time. I remember it, and I will never forget. But if we as a church can just step up and reach, I'm preaching myself too. I am really preaching myself. That if us as a church can step up and say, God, I want it. I want to see it happen. I want to experience that revival. God, I want to experience that greatness of You. Amen, amen, amen. If we can come together today and just begin to feast on the things that are in this house. If we can begin to focus on the things of God. If we can just focus and leave all those things behind, He'll take care of us. He'll do it. If you keep reading down, in Psalms where we read, O taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Thy righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Am I relating to anybody tonight? Is the word relating to anybody tonight? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That's enough for me to know that God is on my side. That's enough for me to know that if I can just trust him, and if I can just live for him, that he'll take care of all my problems, that he'll take care of all my needs. And if I can just give it to him, hallelujah, he'll redeem me when I need to be redeemed. He'll pick me up when I've fallen down. Come on, somebody. He'll help you up. The very minute you fall down, he's got a hand outstretched saying, come on, let's get back up. Let's go. He'll give forgiveness when forgiveness is needed. You repent. Come on, somebody. God is here to do it for this church. God is here to do it for your family. God is here to do it for you as an individual tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Musicians, come and help us. Hallelujah, he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. The Bible says it over and over and over again. He's going to take care of us. And if we reach out, he's going to reach back. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She got up to Jesus. She said, thought, the Bible says, and she thought in her mind, if I could just touch his garment. If I could just touch his garment. What did he do? He turned around and said, thy faith have made thee whole. Is anybody needing that to happen in your life? Is anybody tonight need that to happen for you? Well, taste and see. It's like blind Bartimaeus. Heard Jesus was coming. Jesus, Jesus. Now, son of David, oh, be quiet. Oh, stop yelling. Don't bother the master. Don't bother him with what you've got going on. Jesus, Jesus. Now, son of David, some may try to keep us quiet. Some may tell us, you know what, you might just want to let that go. But if you cry out unto him tonight, if you cry out unto him tonight, Jesus might say, hey, go get him out of the crowd. Go get her out of the crowd. She's been calling my name. He's been calling my name. And he has a need. They have a need. He'll bring you in front of him and say, here you go. But it's to taste and see. It's to not be afraid of the things that God is trying to do in this church. It's to not be afraid of holiness and separation. It's not to be afraid of the very plate that what you need is served on. To say, this plate right here, what I need to eat, I'm just going to push it away. We can't push it away. We can't push it away. And I can say to all of us tonight that God is offering something to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us that are in the house. I don't want to leave anybody out. God is offering you a walk with him. God is offering you such a sweet prayer life. God is offering a relationship that will take you places that you never thought you would get. He's offering something that can save your family. He's offering something that could save you. Amen. Can we stand all over this house tonight? The offer has always been the same. But it is up to us when we take it. It is up to us when we are ready and we decide to say, God, I'm ready to go. And I know time and time again, I'm talking about myself, before that I had talked myself out of things of God, that I had talked myself out of a relationship with Him. There's been a lot of times that I've ran from this great truth. But to know tonight that God is still offering the same thing. Don't run, young people. If you didn't hear anything I said tonight, get it now. Get it now. So when you're my age, you'll be 4,000 or 5,000 times farther than I am right now. Get it tonight. Understand it tonight. When I'm 50, I want to see all of you way farther than I could have even gone. You've got 25 years. So you better get on it now. You won't regret it either. You won't regret it. It'll be something that carries you on to that day that you get to dance on those streets of gold. To those days that you get to see God up in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands all over this house tonight. Oh, God. Amen, amen. Why don't we lift our voice together tonight? Hallelujah.